You were just listening to part of a traditional Japanese song, Nene no Osato. It was interpreted by Yurika Sase and Eleuthera Dikonka Lippert. They're part of a duo called Okumu Yume, and they brought the song and others to New York City in the form of Japanese performance pieces. The audio you just heard was recorded outside alongside the Lachine Canal in Montreal on a blustery winter's day. You can clearly hear that the wind was something fierce. I'm happy to have caught up with singer, songwriter, and poet Eleuthera here in Montreal. And without further ado, I'd like to get right to the conversation. Today, I'd like to welcome my friend Eleuthera to the show, who I have not seen in 10 years. That's how good I am with keeping up with people.
I'm horrible too.
So, Eleuthera, I think I met you in my Latin class. I guess initially I was just drawn to your super amazing name, but I'm sure you get that all the time, right?
Well, either that or, yeah, people mispronounce it horribly. And
is it Eleuthera or is it Eleuthera?
No, it's Eleuthera.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the English equivalent.
Because I've seen it spelt with an F too.
Yeah, because that's how it is in Greek, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and just out of curiosity's sake, how did you end up with a name like Eleuthera? Like, it's a Greek name, but are you Greek?
No. So I'm Uruguayan and German, but my parents lived on a small Bahamian island in the late 70s, early 80s.
That sounds really awesome.
Yeah. And that's where I was conceived. And the name of the island was Eleuthera. And so I think, the Bahamas was colonized by Greeks at some point because there's names like Andros and yeah, Eleuthera. So it means free.
Did you grow up in here? And where did you grow up?
Yeah, Montreal. Yeah, born and raised.
Wow. So so your parents left Eleuthera and they came to Montreal. That must have been a bit of a shock.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been. I don't know why they did it. I would have stayed there forever.
Have you been back to Eleuthera?
No, ever? I'm always broke. I'd love to.
I guess I didn't really see you in your element until the first time I saw you singing.
Uh-huh.
I just remember this enormous energy and like powerful voice. You have a band called Fruiting Bodies.
Yeah, I have a vocal trio that we've been together 6 years. I'm currently working on a solo album, and I've been working on it for 2.5 years now. And it's the kind of thing where, like, I had never written my own music, really. I had arranged with Fruiting Bodies, and I had like done like heavy improvisations on standards, but just kind of considered myself an interpreter and arranger and never thought that I would write my own music. And then 2.5 years ago, I had these dreams that I had to get out of the city and move to the country. And I had these visions of this cabin in the woods with a piano. And I knew if I had nothing else, it would be okay. And so I sold my keyboard and bought this piano and made it happen and ended up in a cabin in the woods. And these songs just started coming. Yeah, I'm so grateful. So now it's been 2.5 years.
That's awesome. So yeah, actually what I forgot to mention was that I guess where we kind of lost track of each other there was I kept on going and I graduated out of classics.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas you kind of followed your dreams and you became a full-time musician farmer.
Yeah. Yeah. I dropped out of school. It was, I loved it. I loved it to pieces, but it was just so cerebral. And I was really longing for contact with, I don't know, the other aspects of my character, my body, my soul, my heart. So for the last 8 years, I've been either farming or touring during the summer and in the winter, like writing and arranging and
hibernating in Montreal.
But lots of creative projects.
I mean, did you really go out into, is it a metaphorical cabin in the woods with a piano, or did you really go into a cabin in the woods with a piano?
No, it was a cabin in the woods. It was amazing. It was tucked
How
away.
How did you get this? Did you look online or something?
Yeah, I just Googled cabin in the woods with a piano.
Did you like go into like Craigslist or something? Anybody got a cabin in the woods with a piano who's not
scary?
Honestly, super similar. I did a call out on Facebook and was just like, I can't handle the friggin' city. Anybody got land? Like what? And a bunch of awesome people got back to me. And yeah, somebody that I had gone to university with as well, actually. Jess, I don't know if you know her. She was at some Classics Wine and Cheeses. Anyways, yeah, she and her partner had like 110 acres and most of it was wooded, but there was this little cabin and it was for rent. So
that is so amazing. That's like sometimes I'm working, I'll be like, oh, fuck this shit, man. Like I've had it. Like I want to get out.
Uh-huh.
I want to live in a trailer next to the beach making beads or something, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, but it shows that if you want to do it, but you just have to be brave enough, I guess, to do that, right?
Yeah, or you have to have reached a breaking point where it's the only option.
So you were pregnant with all of these ideas. You were reaching the point where you had to give birth to like all of this creative output.
Yeah, it's interesting that you use that metaphor because I've used the same. That's what I felt. I felt that I had been gestating these songs for 32 years and finally they were ready to be born into the world.
That kind of urgency that you told me about, it really, that's what it spoke to me, was like that you like would have gone out and it was like you had to find a place that was safe.
Mm.
To give birth to like all these things, some place without distractions, like the city takes, right?
It takes. That's it. I needed a place that gave. I was surrounded by, it's hard to put into words what that energy is, you know, but being able to go out into the woods every day and just sit under the trees with the birds and listen to their song and come back into the cabin at night and feel the power of, of the natural world around me and feeling so connected to it. It was really nourishing.
Were you there during the winter or during the spring, fall?
Yeah, no, it was April to October.
That's amazing because the smells too would have been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
With the if there were pines or any of those things.
Yeah.
I could totally get that. I've met people who, you know, they might have an instrument or something in there, or even a calligraphy set or a set of paints or something. And they'll say, they'll have it in their box in their attic or something.
Mm-hmm.
You'll meet them and you'll say, well, what is this? And they say, oh, I was really into painting when I was younger, but then life caught up with me and like, that's it. I had to put them away and, you know, get a job or blah, blah, blah. And you lose your chance. You're not living to your full potential and it can breed a lot of regret or sourness in people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
No, that's real. Yeah, like I meditate on death a lot and I think about regret a lot and try to do my best, you know, to live a life that I won't regret, that is as deeply free and powerful and authentic and present with my deepest self and with the people I love, like as possible.
People say that it's difficult, but I think that maybe it's sort of like, it's just a series of small choices that you make in life. And you just say, I'm going to choose this, I'm going to choose that. Anyway.
Yeah, they can be small choices. They can be radical choices too. Like when I dropped out of school to be a musician, I was like, what am I doing with my life? Like, really? This is like the identity that I had always known was one of a student, you know? And so it was a giant friggin' leap to be like, how am I going to pay rent? It's like, I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. I have to do what I love. Life is short and precious, and that's it. And like, prioritize that above all else.
So you've got a project going on. You're making a solo album.
Yeah. So I have a big pile of songs. I think about 30, enough to record like 3 albums worth. I think I'm going to release a double album. It's kind of like in the style of like blues soul. It's just kind of like, deep, rich, like presence with the darkness that life offers and the lessons that come from it. And speak to the courage that it takes to overcome and to rise up and to shine your light.
I also read on your bio that you did some Japanese songs? Is that for real? Like, you didn't write them, obviously.
No, I didn't write them. Yeah, I used to do Japanese performance pieces. My good friend Yurika Sase and I, yeah, that was an incredible experience. That's a whole other thing, man. We spent months like researching and developing these characters. It started because I found a tape of Japanese songs on the street and was listening to it. I swear to God. There was one song, Nene no Sato, that really spoke to me, that was really haunting. And so we started like researching its origins and couldn't find much. And so we created a story and characters around it. And you can see the videos on YouTube or whatever. The group was called Akumu Yume, AKUMU YUME, which means like nightmare and dream.
Wow.
Yeah. And we recorded it. Yeah, we did music videos for them. That one was it was -25 in a snowstorm and we're in friggin' kimonos like next to the Lachine Canal. They're just like we almost lost our fingers, you know? We were like, art, like this is what we're willing to do for art's sake. Yeah, those are powerful pieces. Yeah.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Let me revisit this. So you were just walking down the street and you saw a cassette tape on the ground? Or did you just picked it up?
I picked it up. That's Japanese so wild. Songs and like, yeah.
And here in Montreal, I mean, it's not like the place is crawling with Japanese people. Like, what kind of coincidence is that? That's amazing.
No, it was meant to be. Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah, so we ended up making four performance pieces together, two that were comedic and two that were more somber. We took them on the road to New York and we're like performing them in the subway.
Holy crap. So yeah, you went to awesome. New York with this stuff.
Yeah,
that's like
underground
totally
lofts.
That's like totally a butterfly effect or something when you've got, I was just walking down the street. I found this tape. And I stuck it in my player and wow, that's so cool.
I go with my intuition, you know, like when something inspires me, I often get like a visual image in my head of like the potential future that could play out from that event, that source of inspiration. And I just go with it. And it's like, okay, I'm booking us a show in New York. We're doing this. We're just getting on a bus. And
fucking A.
Yeah. It was crazy performing in the New York subway. There were like, yeah, some people were traumatized by it because some of it's dark. Like it's not scary, but yeah, dark. And people have trouble with darkness sometimes. It's a hard thing to be present with. And so like some people were like, they would drop us like, I don't know, Jehovah's Witnesses pamphlets or whatever and be like, you know, like you can be saved. And like, because I'm like in this like long dark cloak, and my face is covered and singing in Japanese and yeah. But this other guy came up to me, to us, and said he had been sitting there watching us for a long time do the pieces again and again. And after like half an hour, an hour, he came up to us and said, "You girls make life worthwhile." And it was like,
that's awesome. That makes it all worth it,
right?
Sort of,
know? I'll carry that with me forever.
So for your own album, you're going to be doing an Indiegogo campaign. So could you let us know, like, I mean, have you set the Indiegogo up?
No. Like I'm in the midst of setting it up now. I'm getting like a team of people together, photographers, videographers, and people to kind of help me brainstorm about how to approach it. Cause I've never done like crowdfunding before. So we're going to do like a series of videos in awesome places and like release them as like teasers for the album and, launch the campaign in like March.
So your website, where people can see this, what is that again?
Yeah. unspokenplace.com.
Is there a newsletter or something like that?
Is a newsletter. Yeah. I don't have, the code was messed up. I tried to enter it on the website, but it didn't work. So, for now people can email me at unspokenplace@gmail.com, or find me on Facebook and message me, to get signed up to the newsletter. And then, soon I should have a button on the website.
What is a singing circle?
What is a singing circle? So I think a singing circle can be many different things. The one that I'm offering is just a safe space where people can explore deep listening and sound making in like, a non-judgmental way. There's no experience necessary. And I'm offering up rounds that I've been collecting for the last few years from around the world and choral compositions that I've been writing. And we're doing, vocal exercises and improv games. And
myself and many other people, sometimes we're shy about our voices. So is a singing circle, is that sort of like a place where you could go to feel safe about expressing your sound?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of my main goals, is just to support people in occupying sonorous space, because it's so important to, we're deeply sonorous beings, and to deny ourselves that is a sad thing indeed. So
I used to take piano lessons. The lovely nun who was helping me with this, she'd come over every week and she asked me why I didn't practice. Mm. And one of the main reasons I didn't practice that or the violin, my mm-hmm. parents tried the violin and then they tried the piano, is that I was so shy about practicing. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to, and I was so hard on myself mm-hmm. that I would make a mistake on the piano and I would get so upset. Mm-hmm. That I wouldn't want to continue playing.
Yeah, that's a story for a lot of people. A lot of people in the group too. It's and everyone I've ever given voice lessons to, like, that's the main thing, is just like overcoming that fear of taking up that space and of making mistakes and just feeling comfortable making sound. So having a supportive group setting, you know, there's not that pressure of just like, okay, now you solo, you know. It's like everyone's in there together and supporting each other. And yeah, it's lovely.
With the singing circle, you mentioned rounds. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
What is a round?
Yeah.
A round is a song that, you know, yeah, good question. You sing it again and again and again. And let's say there's like four lines in it. You divide the group into four parts. And then when the first group is singing the first part, this is hard to explain.
Is it like Frère Jacques? Like, does it cut in like that? Where
So then you layer them on top of each other, so you have a harmony. Uh-huh. But it wasn't written as a harmony. It's just like another line in the song, but it fits over.
Would you like to perform one?
Yeah, sure. So maybe I'll give you a taste of like a short round that I've written for the group, and then a piece that's not completed that I'm arranging into four-part harmony for them, and it might be on the album. So this one was, I wrote over the Christmas holidays, and it was about letting go of negative thought and action patterns that that I was ready to release. It goes, shake these aways loose from me, shake these aways loose. Shake these aways loose from me, shake these aways loose. Let me be free, let me be free, let me be free, let me be free. And then just repeats.
That's awesome.
Can I sing for you a song that I've written that might be on the album?
Absolutely. That would be great.
Okay, cool. So this one is like, in the past, the songs have been more around catharsis of like of dark, intense emotions. And then recently I've been trying to cultivate hope in my personal life. And that's been carrying over into my creative process. And I had experiences recently where I felt tangibly like waves of hope washing over me. And I wanted to try and capture that in a song.
Relief, relief, body and soul, body and soul, feel that ease so sweet, like you never know. Like you never know. Lay down all your troubles, just to let them go. Just to let them go. We know darkness, sorrow so deep, too deep to show. Too deep to show. And we know long, hard nights, no sleep. Felt us so alone. Felt us so alone. But in that darkness, we found a precious seed.
Now it's time to reap what we have sown. Reap what we have sown. 'Cause freedom is our song. When it lives inside us brighter and strong, we can help each other to carry on. Oh, freedom. That's all I have so far, but yeah, it's going to be with piano and four-part harmony, like a backup choir.
That sounds really great. It sounds like gospel.
Yeah. My whole life, this is the style of singing that's always come naturally to me, and I never had a name for it. It was just what happened when I opened my mouth and felt inspired. And then a few years ago, I don't know what happened. I think someone introduced me to Etta James. And then I went on this awesome rabbit hole mission of finding all the old school jazz, funk, soul, work songs, stuff from like the earliest like field recordings. Like I love, yeah, music from the deep south, from the 30s to the 60s.
Not only do you do song, but you also do poetry as well, which mm-hmm. is, I guess, poetry sort of like song. It's just spoken song, kind of, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the process is very different for me, but yeah, they're definitely related.
You're starting an e-zine, right?
It's like a chapbook a zine of some sort. It doesn't have a name yet. We're still in the process of illustrating it. My friend Sarah's illustrating it, and yeah, it's a collection of poems from the last 10 years or so that I feel like I need to let go of them in order to make space for new inspiration to come through.
Do you want to set one free on the podcast?
Yeah, sure. I wish I could draw out all your pain, pull it from your body's tired grasp, throw it towards the flaming sun, purify it with impossible heat, fly it into winds that would whip it away and disperse it over vast rolling landscapes. Free it into fast-flowing water, letting its mournful tones become a bubbling song. Release it down into the deep, dark earth, transforming it to feed something new. I hold a precious image of you, dancing, slow, steady, and joyous, in dappled light, barefoot with a small contagious smile, free in ways too long unfelt. I'm hoping, if I keep this image close to my heart and feed it, daily, hourly, with love and light, I will see it come to pass.
That was luscious.
Why, thank you.
you have a great voice for like poetry. I'm trying to find the right term for that, but it was great, very beautiful.
Thanks.
I think this pretty much wraps things up. I'm just interested to know, you said that you have for your project, for your album mm-hmm. that's coming out, it's going to be a double set, mm-hmm. you think, mm-hmm. and it's going to be coming out in the spring, right?
The Indiegogo campaign is going to be launched in the spring.
Okay.
And then depending on how much money I can raise, that'll determine who I can record with, how many musicians I can have on it, etc. So then we'll figure it out from there, probably release this summer.
I'll definitely like try to bring you back on the podcast if you're good with that.
Sure.
If I, you know, break it out and become famous, I can bring I can bring more listeners in.
Awesome.
But Eleuthera, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, the morning light streams across your face. Open your eyes, and I'm lost in your grace. You make it easy to follow. So I feel you're here when you stand next.
next to me, honey, you know it's true. And I just want to reach out and touch you, baby. That smile melts away all my blues. You make it easy to fall in love. So easy. What you mean to me, what you done for me, darling, gave me hope. Yes, you helped me let go, and you kept me living free. Cause it ain't always easy being in love. You make it so, so easy. Streams across your face. Open your eyes.